Hello, Royals fans, and welcome to this week's podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, and I want to welcome you to our broadcast this week. Hope you've had a great week. We certainly have here. It's been another very busy one. And just to give you a little bit of background, from my personal perspective as a Director of Athletics, we've talked a lot about the excitement of a new year and the hope that's there. And someone asked me how things were going at the start of the year. I told him, well, in some respects, it feels like we've made two steps forward and then one step back. And so there's a lot of excitement and positive feel about the number of athletes we have in. Got a good report on our retention rate from last year to this year, which last year's athletes, freshmen coming back as sophomores, we retained them at a higher rate than the rest of the student body. And we got the GPA and average GPA and SAT of our student athletes. And that was very positive as well. Our total number of athletes have actually dropped back a little bit as some people have decided not to play, or we had large enough rosters that we need to cut some people, which isn't always a pleasant experience. But to the best of my knowledge, all those persons have stayed around as students. So those are some real pluses that are there. Some of the step backwards, you might say, is in order to increase our enrollment, we had to spend a little bit more and increase scholarships in certain categories. And that has caused us to actually to need to cut a little bit from our budgets now that we know the student enrollment. So you blend the positive with the negative, then you also have some teams that are really struggling with injuries. We'll mention a women's soccer that played against Sweetbriar with they started with 11, but several times throughout the game were only playing with 9 mm-hmm. due to either injuries or tiredness. They enter tomorrow's game against Hollins with only 10. And again, this is a product of a rash of injuries, not being able to get some of the recruits that we thought we were going to get. And so the roster started out in a small way. So again, we've got those positive feel and hope and all of that. And then the reality starts to come in and you've got a couple of going backwards and not being quite where we want. So again, it's a little bit of this big picture, small picture, I guess you would say. And it's probably the thing that I struggle with the most as a director of athletics is a new coach coming in certainly has 3 to 5 years to sort of get their program in place, their recruits in place. And so you feel really good about that. You feel good about your hires and where you're at and all of that. And then the reality sets in that this might be a struggling year for a particular sport. And so you gear that hope, balance that hope, I guess you would say, along with the realities of maybe some of the, because we all want to win and we all want to have successful programs. And sometimes it takes a while to build that up. And unfortunately, most of the spectators around are looking to see, well, how are the teams doing this year? That's what they ask all the time. And so then you have to balance this. So it has been two steps forward and one back, I would say, from my perspective of what's been going on. But that's never to diminish the individual experiences that each student athlete is having with their team. Two highlights. One was mentioned last week that I'll just bring up yet, and that is two of our coaches reaching milestones. Brenda Beckler, 100 field hockey victories, and Roger Mass this past week picked up his 200th victory, and we'll honor him next week, I believe, at the next home game. So you've got those experiences going on. You've got a couple of key injuries that are going on. It's an up and down experience, but we never want that to minimize what's happening with the individual student athletes. So that's a little bit of the background scene that I'm dealing with. We've got a lot of exciting activities coming up. Again, trying to improve our relationships to our alumni. Got some great homecoming activities, and we'll talk about those in just a little bit. But let's go, James, and recap. James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director, joins me again this morning. And we'll go back again and just review a little bit of what's been happening over this past week and what's coming. Again, not in all the gory details of each game, but just sort of recapping a little bit of what's happening with each of the teams.
Well, yeah, you kind of started my theme with the injury talk about the women's soccer team. Yeah, they played Sweetbriar and started with 11 and had 9 at times. It's hard to see that sometimes you look at the box score. In fact, I didn't even know until the next day that we had played with that little. I mean, the box score shows you who started. And so it looks like we started 11. But so dealing with those injuries and sometimes how it affects you or how strongly it affects you has a lot to do with your roster size. Women's soccer didn't have a huge roster this year as Sue was building up the program, and so she doesn't have as much of a cushion to deal with injuries. So we look at men's soccer, and they've had an injuries or two, and a couple guys miss games here and there, but their roster is a bit bigger, and so it's a little bit easier. You still have those adjustments, and that's part of the adjustment that the men's soccer team faces is yes, we can throw another talented guy on the field, but now you're working with the adjustment of a new guy next to you on the field, and you've spent, you know, 6 or 8 games with Joe Smith next to you, and now you have Tom Smith next to you, and you've got to figure out how he plays. And so a lot of it is dealing with some of those things. On the men's soccer side, they hit the road for a long drive, and I don't know exactly how far it is to Wesley College. It's in Dover, Delaware, and I drive to Northern Delaware, and it's a long ways for a soccer game. So they went there on a weeknight, and they had a player out from the defensive back line, and so they were adjusting to that, gave up 2 first-half goals, and come out with their first loss in, I think, 4. They had 4 straight shutouts. And so, first off, we just got to say that that's an impressive streak. It was maybe 367 or 368 total minutes of shutout minutes, 4 straight shutouts for our soccer men, and that is an incredible streak. I don't keep the official records of how many minutes we have for a shutout streak, but you got to think that looks pretty good in there.
Well, and you mentioned one of the keys that people have asked me after having lost so much last year to graduation and other people, the men's soccer, why they're doing so well. And the article in the newspaper this morning, actually, in the DNR that covered the men's soccer, talked about how well they're gelling so quickly with a lot of new players. And so they get that together. They're committed to it. They're all working hard. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. An injury there doesn't affect the team quite as much, but it's good to see them doing that. And yeah, the defense has just been stellar, and then throwing a little bit of offense here and there, coming from different places. I think a lot more people involved. The last couple of years we've relied on Mitchell Leap, and now I think there's a lot more options that we have available. But again, Jordan Hollinger was out with a knee and hasn't been up front there for the last couple of games as well. So
and I think the nice thing about the quote nice thing about that loss is it was a non-conference game. It's our final non-conference game on the men's side. That's the other thing that we think about this time of the year is, all right, we're gearing up for ODAC play, and what does that look like? So for the soccer men, yeah, they had a hiccup with a loss. They gave up a couple of goals, but it was a non-conference game, which in the biggest scheme of things probably doesn't matter as much. So they don't have any more non-conference games. They'll jump right back in. And the interesting thing, especially on the men's soccer side, we've teased this in the past, but there's just so much talent on the men's soccer side that you've got to be on every single night. Right now, we are currently tied for the league lead with 3 victories. 9 points are tied with Bridgewater, which should make it a lot of fun. But yeah, everybody is just packed in there on the men's side, and games are almost always really close, and so it comes down to 1 or 2 bad bounces or good shots.
And it's totally, a lot of it depends upon total focus, because you lose your focus and somebody gets a break with either a mental error of not marking somebody or, you know, sometimes just a great play. But you're right, conference is going to be really, really interesting in the men's soccer side.
On the field hockey side, I think it's going to be just as interesting. Lynchburg is still the clear-cut favorite in the ODAC, although they seem to be a small step down this year, but it just seems like everything below Lynchburg is just, you know, there's a bunch of teams that can go different ways. And our field hockey women have a really big contest coming up Saturday. They'll take on Randolph-Macon, and Macon was the conference runner-up, I believe, both of the last 2 years. I think they're down a little bit this year, but it doesn't matter. That's one of the teams that our women have to beat to get back up if they want to finish in that upper echelon of teams in the conference. And so that's a huge match for them this Saturday. And we see a bunch of other contests like that where on the field hockey side, they've got to be on their game every time. They've got to, you know, as you said, mark up with everyone. And there's going to be a few of those on the field hockey side. So it should be a lot of fun watching that field hockey race as well. Women's volleyball side, they just picked up a win last night, which is really nice for them. They had a little losing skid, and it was nice to be able to come home and break it. And I think Coach Tyson is still looking for consistency out of the team. They definitely play well at times. They don't play well at other times. And he's just looking for some consistency and excited to get back in and pick up a few conference victories
this year. Well, and you talk about the bigger picture of athletics, 2 steps forward and 1 back last night and this past week was a case in point where they had big leads against Shenandoah and turned around and lost them. And so last night they come in here, and of course he was very frustrated with that, and hopefully they were frustrated with themselves, but that was a match they clearly should have won, particularly when you're up like 22-19 or even, you know, less than, greater than that.
Yeah,
19-11, and then you still end up losing. Last night in first game, two games, they had leads and they held them and came through. I had to go to a class with freshman athletes, so I didn't see the fourth game, but apparently we had a big lead and blew it. So
third and fourth games, we had big leads.
Two steps forward and one step back. Now turn around and they come back and they take the fifth one. So they've had this confidence issue because of the tradition of losing over the last number of years. And so he's trying to figure out what is it. So again, they didn't show it against Shenandoah. They show it in the first two games against Ferrum, turn around, almost lose it, and then come back again. So you're absolutely right. Consistency is it, but that mental piece that goes in. I know field hockey talked about it too. I heard her, Brenda, talking about it with the girls. It almost felt like they were playing scared of Lynchburg, who's always been at his top. And at the end of the first half, they were right there with them, and they let it go. So this mental thing of needing to get this killer instinct is not maybe the word you want at EMU, and yet I still think it's extremely important. Where's the commitment to finish it strong and go at it, and where's the confidence to do that? So two steps forward, one back, I think, for the women, but certainly ended on a good note the other night.
Cross country is still a lot of fun to watch. They've had one or two injuries, especially on the guys' side. It seems like there's at least one or two guys either missing or not finishing every race on the guys' side. But the women continue to be a very pleasant surprise. Still ninth in the region. We were a little surprised they didn't move up in the region polls. Hopefully we can do some work this weekend and move up next week. But they've beaten two of the top conference teams last weekend. And then this coming weekend, they'll take on the other of the top conference teams, Washington and Lee, at the Paul Short Run up in Pennsylvania. So that's nice for them. Again, we've talked cross country, not purely a head-to-head sport as our other sports are, but they're still getting a chance to see how they compare against the other teams in the ODAC. And, you know, they get Washington and Lee, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun for them. I'm sure Coach mentioned to them that, hey, you didn't move up in the regional poll this past week, and, you know, give him a little boost on that one to try a little harder, I guess.
Well, no, I talked to Coach before he left yesterday, and he really liked their chances up there and did talk a lot about the head-to-head competition with W&L because W&L wasn't at the Bridgewater Invitational
last
weekend here at Peakview Elementary School course. So he does want to see how they stack up against that. He still has visions of first or second in the ODAC, I think, and just really loves where they're at in terms of their progression. And again, it's so hard to tell because different teams function differently in terms of who they run. Tell some of the runners to go 80%, this and that, because they don't put as much stock in the place of the team at this point until you get to the ODAC championships and then maybe onto the regionals. So, but today, I know he's very excited about their race up there this weekend with Paul Short. And again, some of the guys have been injured, but he likes where he's at, and he sees the progression coming really well.
And both golf teams in action in, I can't say this weekend, but in the coming days. The men's team, it is this weekend at the VSGA meet down in, is it in Danville,
I think,
this weekend.
Right.
So their tournament is Saturday and Sunday. And then the women's team at a tournament hosted by Washington and Lee on Monday and Tuesday. So it's nice. This will complete the fall season, to my knowledge, unless we sneak another one in somewhere. But this completes the fall season, so it's a lot of fun just to see our golf teams kind of get their feet wet. And it's not quite a preseason, but again, golf is a spring sport, so they're still kind of getting their way in, and we'll kick it up for real in the spring.
It's been a good experience. I've talked to both Coach Eberle as well as Assistant Coach David Johns, and really likes the progress that some of the kids are making, getting back into, some of these kids have played in high school, but getting back into the collegiate competition level is really pretty tough. We are down to the one woman golfer now. The other one had to drop out due to schedule issues. They're looking forward to that. Speaking about golf, we just met this morning again working on our own golf tournament. Make sure that if you have not, make sure you check it out. Hopefully we can get some things online for you. Give us a call if you can. That's October 12, Friday, start of homecoming. Eric Kratz will be there. We're looking forward to that. Going to be some EMU golf paraphernalia for you to purchase for the first time ever. Cool. To have that there. A couple of 50-50s working on some special gifts and sponsorships. Love to have whole sponsorships there. So if you can play in that or help us to sponsor that, please contact me as soon as possible so we can make sure we get your sign out there. That leads into the whole homecoming activities. We're looking forward to, again, the 1980 field hockey team will be inducted, as well as Eric Kratz. That'll be on Saturday morning. And then on Saturday evening, we'll honor the 1998 men's soccer team. And unfurl their banner for ODAC Championship as well as for the NCAA Sweet 16. So great opportunity for you to come back. I know we're working on a baseball alumni game as well. And, of course, hopefully I doubt if Eric will play. He'll be involved in a lot of other things, but he'll be on campus and be there as well. So, once again, our goal is to try to reconnect with as many alumni athletes as we can, hear your stories, find out what it was about EMU athletics that really helped you be where you're at today, and have an opportunity to share with you all the good things that we're having as well. Again, this particular broadcast is trying to give you a little bit of an inside look, so to share a little bit about, as I mentioned at the beginning, the two steps forward and one back. Last night, I had an opportunity to meet again with a group of freshman athletes and trying to really help them understand what it's going to take. And I mentioned the injury piece. I continue to be negatively impressed. Is that an okay way to say it? I don't know. I haven't had the time to see whether our injury rate is higher than others. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the kids quite understand the level of wear and tear on the body with the emphasis on practice time, training time, and then the competition level. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how many kids are getting nicked up with injuries and how much that impacts the team, and how important it is to prepare yourself ahead of time with out-of-season conditioning and training. It's just something that kids don't take into mind because high school, they haven't had to worry that much about it. They've played on club teams and JO teams, and it's all been about play and not about preparing your body and preparing your technique for the collegiate level. And so we worked a little bit on how to set goals now, because you're going to have to set them more individually. Even if you're playing on a team sport, how much better can I be? How much stronger can I be? How much faster can I be? How do I take care of myself in such a way so that every time I go out there, I'm prepared for the test? And yeah, I'm sure you've heard many of the talk show radio people out there in sports talk about, you know, how brutal NFL football is and how much you come at that. Well, I certainly don't want to say that we're playing at that particular level, but for many people, the move between high school and college, the competitive level, the physicality of the game, with maybe the exception of golf, is something that I just don't think our kids understand. And we're working really, really hard to try to educate them so that they come in there and don't have those early injuries and can stay healthy all the way through and make sure that when they're juniors and seniors in particular, their body is at the best condition possible to withstand the rigors of college sports. It's just something that we're really working hard at, and we hope it gets through to them. So, again, that's one more behind-the-scenes thing that we're working at. We look at the scores. We look at all that. But you people, all the spectators, don't have any idea of – not have any idea, but have a little bit of an idea of what goes on behind the scenes to try to get the rehab done, to get the injury done, to get how the team's playing together. How do you fit all these pieces together? It's supposed to be for fun, and it's supposed to be for an education, which it will be, but these are all pieces that need to add to it. So we're continuing to work at that, continue to solicit your support financially and in prayers as we continue to work with the young athletes and trying to help them become the best they can be and mesh that all in with an education as well. Thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. We look forward to talking to you next week, which will lead us right into homecoming. So until we talk again, I invite you to make it a great week.